Hi everyone and welcome back to another episode of SYD Life. Today we are going to be talking about feeling anxious, about burnout. It's going to be such a good episode. Stay tuned. So yeah, what's it called? Elephant in the room?
Yeah, that's really rude. Really off the cuff factor.
Alex isn't here, he's away.
Yeah, I'm back.
Yeah.
Alex is not going to like this.
I'm terrified for the next time we record because he's going to be so angry at me. But he was away.
But he knew, right?
He knew. He knows. I actually don't think that last time he knew he was being replaced.
Well, I mean, when you have a fortnightly podcast and you're away for it.
Yeah.
And
the podcast has to keep going.
The show must go on.
The show must go on.
The people need their content.
That's the motto of SYD Life.
What if you're away? Can Alex and I do one?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. That would be hilarious. You guys...
Hit me up, Alex.
You guys would just air all your dirty laundry about me, though.
I actually don't have any dirty laundry. It's a very one-sided beef.
I'd have to sit there and like edit it while you guys made fun of me the whole time.
No.
Really?
No, this is a Christian podcast.
It's true.
It'd be slander.
I'd never make fun of anyone.
No.
Couldn't be me. Could not be me.
Yeah.
Speaking of...
Yeah. The bullying podcast?
No, you can be
the guest. The guest.
The guest.
A former bully.
No, you're the bully.
Maybe you can have two guests.
True.
Yeah.
Well, I do want to film that one.
Yeah, that's juicy.
Let us know if you want to hear one about if you did bully people.
Yeah,
in high
you're
school.
Like, you're a reformed bullier.
Yeah.
You recognize your ways are wrong.
Yeah.
You said, I'm sorry, I'll own that.
Yeah.
And here I am.
Wow, spoiler.
Oh, well, what spoiler. Else? Was it just going to be like an online roast?
Potentially. No, I'm about to make fun of someone.
Okay, go.
So J-Lo is not having the best year.
No.
I don't know anything about her. She feels very like she's not a Gen Z celebrity.
Well, yeah, she's from the block. Don't be fooled by the rocks that I got.
What?
I'm still Jenny from the block. Once I had a little, now I got a lot.
Well,
she's from the Bronx and she'll let you know.
Yeah. I was going to say, so she had to like finance, she like independently financed this documentary of herself.
About herself. Yeah.
Which people only made fun of. It's that sound where she's like, this hair is reminding me from the Bronx.
Yeah.
And then she's just cancelled her tour.
Well, it's just a bit cringe, hey?
Yeah.
Like it felt a bit...
Inauthentic.
Inauthentic, put on... Mm-hmm. She saw it work for Beyonce, why not me?
Yes.
Kind of thing.
Yeah. See, and like I don't know any like qualities about her that are good. I've never opened up my phone and gone, I'm gonna listen to J-Lo.
Loves a good rom com.
I've seen one rom com.
She gets married in every rom com. They're like a similar narrative.
No, I saw one.
And she can dance. Halftime
I know she
show.
Can dance.
She did that halftime show with Shakira. Shakira.
I've seen, is it Shall We Dance?
I don't know.
Beck Scott would be upset that I've forgotten the name of this movie. But yeah, so explain to me.
About J-Lo?
Yeah, like what is it?
No, I think you're on the money. Like she is very talented, but I think she tries too hard.
Yeah. I feel kind of bad for her because she's just had like two hits where she's like, I have this documentary that's going to change my life. Everyone thought it was awful. And then she just...
Cancels
and she paid.
Tour.
She paid $30 million
wow.
for her documentary.
She's doing well then.
Well, it's gone now.
What do you mean it's gone? She took it off the air.
Well, no, but it's like no one's watching it.
Oh, shame.
But yeah, then she cancelled her tour and she said that it was because she wanted to be closer to family. But
I saw that.
No one bought any tickets.
Yeah, right.
So it's a bit like...
I feel like you need to say something nice to J-Lo.
Okay.
She might see this.
I liked that movie that I can't remember the
like
name
she's
of.
She's in the dumps and you could encourage her right
okay,
now.
Okay.
She's in the block. She's
I'm still.
Jenny.
Why is she Jenny?
That real name, Jennifer.
Jennifer Lopez.
J-Lo.
That is the same person.
She wasn't born J-Lo.
I did not know they were the same person. Gosh. I swear to God.
Okay, this is the girl who I said, do you know who Destiny's Child is?
This was ages ago.
I said, did you know that Beyonce was part of a trio called Destiny's Child?
Mm-mm.
And you said no.
And I didn't know who Michelle was.
No.
because your daughter
there's,
has
there's a generational gap.
There's a generational gap. Yeah. What's our age difference?
I don't know. 4 years?
Oh, I'm 21. You're
29.
Oh, for some reason I like think you're 26 forever.
So do I.
But that would mean you're Gen Z. And you're not.
Yeah, I'm cuss.
You're cuss.
Cuss.
What do you identify as?
A zillennial.
A zillennial.
I take the best bits of millennials.
Mm-hmm. Name one.
Debate the irony. and the best bits about Gen Z is when I put them together.
Totally.
And you have me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Love that.
Yep.
Yeah. We can maybe discuss that.
Which is why I get along with both generations really well.
You actually do. Yeah. Yeah, Alex doesn't. No, I'm kidding. I can't put that in.
He does. He just needs education around.
Yeah, totally.
What does that mean?
Yeah.
What does it mean to slay?
Yeah.
What does it mean to...
So do you really not have any beef with him? Because this is your opportunity.
With Alex?
Yeah.
No.
This is
my
opportunity
my
to respond. This
my
is your, last time you were sitting in the corner, this time you have a microphone. What do you want to say to the people?
The people? Wow. Really, I've done nothing. Apart from just be like really good content.
Mm-hmm.
I ran into someone the other day and they said, hey, like, when are you going to be on Charlotte's podcast again? And I said, wow, Charlotte's podcast.
Is SYD Life, guys.
SYD Life, yeah. Hosted by Charlotte.
Yeah.
And I said, hopefully soon.
Yeah.
Because that one time was great.
It was pretty fun. That was a really good
podcast.
But I
want to be here for a long time.
With Ellie.
Just one time.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, Ellie was good.
She was great. I'm trying to get her back.
Yeah, get her back.
I'm working on it. She'll be back. Yeah, she's just finishing up her...
degree. Masters?
Yeah. Yeah, so once that's done.
Yeah.
Literally stay tuned. Something else that happened last night.
Yeah.
Matildas.
Yes.
I'll bring them up with absolutely no hesitation. They won. It was a rough game.
Yeah, look, I was a bit bored first half.
First half. Yeah, they had a lot of shots though.
Yeah, the Hayley Russell goal was amazing.
It was so satisfying.
The way she went like, scoosh, scoosh, bush. It was like...
She slid in.
Yeah.
And like, she had taken so many shots. So it was like, she finally got it. And
I mean, every goal you don't take is a miss, right?
Totally.
I feel like we're like the two least sporty people in our entire church to be talking about this.
I know, but I'm going to keep talking about it.
Yeah, do.
Claire
this
Wheeler.
This is the phenomena that is... Phenomenon. Phenomenon. I'm going to keep saying it. Phenomenon.
No.
Phenomenon.
No.
Phenomenon.
No.
What do you mean no?
Wait.
Sorry. Phenomenon. Phenomena. That is the Matildas.
For some reason, I thought it was phenomena. No.
Oh my gosh. It's not a thermometer. I feel like you've mashed the two words together.
Phenomena. Sorry, you are so right.
Phenomenon. I don't have a leg to stand on. That took
phenomenon.
Me. Phenomenon. Phenomenon. Oh, wow.
Phenomenon.
This has become a stumbling block.
This is the
impact that the Matildas have had.
Yeah.
That people like us.
Yeah, we're at loss for words.
At loss for words. And are actually watching sport.
I only started like caring about them. And I'll say this proudly. I'm a fresh fan.
Yeah. Well, last year, right?
Yeah. FIFA. But it was like in the penalty shootout moment. Mm. It wasn't even like at the beginning. It was like...
That's when they won Australia.
Yeah.
Like they had
Courtney
Australia
Vine
in their hands.
Oh, it was so good. I really hope they win the Olympics. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, like it probably won't happen.
It probably will though. Because England got knocked out.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, okay. So it'll be like...
Is Spain in it though?
Yum.
Yum. Yum. It's like a growl. That was weird.
I hope they get a medal.
Sure. Let's podium.
But I also really want them to win. Look, Sam's out.
Yeah. I mean, the Aussie women carry our medals, so.
They do.
They do.
Oh, I'm so excited for the swimmers. I become a new person when the Olympics is on, but it's all in the middle of the night.
Yeah, France.
It's a really bad time zone for us.
They really didn't think about the Australian population when they're playing these Olympics.
Surely, I feel like Aussies as well would have like a high percentage of...
Viewership
for the Olympics.
I mean, we're like kind of a small population.
Yeah, but I feel like we carry our weight.
On like, the global stage.
Yeah.
Big time.
Big time. Mm-hmm. Big time. Did you see that some feminism for you?
What is that? for you.
So the Matildas were on last night, like live stream primetime television, but the Socceroos are just like on Paramount Plus.
Oh, they played at the same time?
No, they're on like tomorrow or Thursday, but it's like not being played on like...
Look, whoever's getting the ratings.
Yeah.
And it's the Matildas.
It is the Matildas. Yep. I'm really sad that Sam's injured though. Sold out a core.
Yeah. Which is where we saw Taylor Swift.
Yeah.
Which I promised we weren't going to talk about it because
it's
dominating.
Yeah. This but podcast. We did see Taylor Swift there. I was thinking about it a lot.
Also, that was my reference point. I was like, wow, that's a lot of people.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And where did the grass come from?
Wow.
Some food for thought.
That's a really good question.
Like, there was not grass.
There was no grass. I guess Taylor they just Swift.
Like put flooring on top.
Maybe it's some like and they like
I have actually seen that like the
wow, that'd be cool.
Madison Square Garden does it when they have like a basketball game and an ice hockey game in like the same day and they like
there's no grass for either of those things.
No.
Wait, you're telling me they bump in like an ice rink?
Yes.
Wow.
It was fascinating.
The logistics.
I know.
Wow.
Project manager Tyler's like, I want to do that.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah.
No, I don't want to do that.
No.
I'm fine with my low-level project management.
Totally. The only other thing that has like happened in the week is that Neighbours got nominated for 3 Daytime
Emmys. What do you mean? This show needs to end.
It got nominated for 3 Daytime Emmys.
It's been going for too long.
It's ridiculous.
And it did end. It like ended, it ended.
And then they brought it back maybe 2 months later.
But you know who's watching it?
Who?
People in the UK.
They love it.
It's not even Aussies.
My Scottish family.
Like get your own show.
My Scottish family, number one on their thing. Was okay, there's more Home and Away because that's
the one. The chokehold, like.
It's crazy.
These Aussie shows have on the UK.
I do.
Needs to be studied because.
Not understand.
No, I don't get it. Maybe it's like, because growing up we watched American TV, right?
Yeah. But they still watch American TV.
And then New Zealand
watch
Australian TV.
Really?
Yeah, it's like, you know, the smaller the country got, like, the flow-on effect would go.
Yeah.
I don't know who watched New Zealand TV.
Maybe, like...
Maybe the Pacific, I'm not sure. But maybe it's just... It's the accent, it's the different scene.
Yeah, but they got nominated for 3 Daytime Emmys, which I don't really know, like...
What's the award? Like,
one
most
like,
ridiculous
An actor was nominated for something. Someone that was in, like...
They've produced some good actors. Is it Margot Robbie... Chris
was
Hemsworth.
She Home Alone? Sorry.
Home Alone? I wish.
Oh my gosh, actually, speaking of Home Alone, their house just got put on the market.
I thought it was a set.
No, no, no. Well, at least like the exterior.
Oh, really?
And it, I think it had like, it has had like over like 70,000 viewings to like buy.
Yeah, wow.
Imagine owning that house.
Yeah,
I
would
wouldn't
be
feel
into
safe.
It. Some stuff went down in that house.
Yeah. One of my favorites.
Child neglect was a big one. Yeah.
It's crazy. We
like they left Kevin home alone.
Yeah. And then they left him.
For days.
Yeah.
And as a father, that's irresponsible.
Yeah. Because he didn't care.
No.
The mum was freaking out and the dad was like.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Just we can't do anything about it now.
Your dad was like, oops.
Yeah. Stupid from him.
Anyway, he took care of himself.
Yeah, he did. He did well.
He was a single mom who works 2 jobs. Who
single
loves his kids.
Who works 2 jobs.
And never stops.
Yeah.
Anyway, good on him.
Tyler is chronically online, guys. Yeah, you are. Don't deny it.
I'm looking in a mirror then.
You always bring up TikToks that I don't know.
That's the beauty of TikTok. It's a wide platform.
It's true. I actually haven't had the app for about a month.
Yeah. You look happier.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I can see like life in your eyes again.
Yeah. It's been rough.
So how have you been posting all these?
I use a scheduling app.
Good on you.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. Because I'm sticking with it.
Yes.
I'm like, we are not going on back on TikTok.
I'm getting that buck.
Yeah.
I'm going viral.
Yeah. Please.
I'll be consistent.
We want to go viral, guys.
Yeah, because I promise this is good content.
Yeah.
It may not be this, but it's coming.
It's coming. It's coming. One day, you guys will come back to this. Be like, wow, they've come so far.
Come so far.
Yeah.
I mean, today we've got Ryan Smith.
We have Ryan Smith.
Special guest.
Special guest. It's a really good segue from you.
It's a very good special guest.
It's a very good special guest. He is an artist. I was trying to think of like...
He just released his fourth album.
Yes.
Yep.
He just released his fourth album. He is so creative.
Mm.
An absolute gem. Mm. So wise. So knowledgeable.
Mm. Yep.
Funny.
Dad of three.
Great.
Deep soul.
Oh.
Like you said, a very creative soul.
Yeah. If people care about Enneagrams, he's an Enneagram 4. And I'm also an Enneagram 4. So it's going to get deep.
Yeah.
This next segment's going to get deep. So,
wow.
Shall we throw to...
I would love to.
Okay. Let's see you there. Well, hello, everyone. Welcome back. I'm now here with the amazing Ryan Smith. He's a musician, pastor, he's been a teacher, done a bit of everything.
Yes.
And we are extremely blessed to be joined with you today.
Thank you, Shah.
We are talking about burnout.
Indeed.
So... We have the expert.
Yes, we have. I'm the only person who documented his entire burnout experience.
It's so good. It's so good. But yeah, we're talking about feeling burnt out, how to deal with it, how to prevent it.
Yes.
Kind of like everything that comes with it.
Yes.
And so to just like jump straight in, what would you like define burnout as? If people are like, what do you mean?
Yeah, I know. Scratching their heads. Let's demystify it. Burnout is basically either a symptom or, in actual fact, trying to give something that you're not in possession of.
Yeah. Okay.
And there's a great quote by Parker Palmer, an author in America, who said that burnout is not the result of having given too much. It simply reveals the nothingness from which you were trying to give in the first place.
Yeah, wow.
So burnout is trying to give something that you're not in possession of.
Yeah, wow. So it's just like coming from nothing, really.
Yeah, you're violating your boundaries, your limitations, and you're trying to be Superman, Superwoman, and you're eclipsing those boundaries. And yeah, it's no margin.
Yeah.
And simply, it's unsustainable.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then, like I said before, you're not an expert, but you've had your fair share of seasons.
Yes. It's a minute right now. No, I'm just kidding. No.
You've had your fair share of seasons of like coming through burnout. So I'd love if you could kind of share a bit of like a personal experience so that we can really like orient ourselves.
Yeah, sure. Well, I didn't realize it at the time, but I probably first started to notice the symptoms or signs of burnout when I was about 36, 37.
Yeah.
And so I ignored them
and
I squashed them down and just sort of, you know, disconnected from reality and lived in denial, pretend they didn't exist.
Yeah.
And then got through the next 2 years and then they started to surface again, and the feelings and the signs were too strong to ignore.
Yeah.
And there's a few things that were indicators for me that I only found out, you know, 8 years, 9 years after the fact.
Mm-hmm.
And that was that I was beginning to hate the things that I used to love.
Yeah.
And I know hate's a strong word. It's a word that's banned in our house. We have to use the words strongly dislike.
Nice.
But I'm just going to say it. I was starting to hate the things that I used to love and that I was passionate about.
Yeah.
And I, being a person who worked in church through his late teens, 20s and 30s, getting married young, having kids young, running a worship team young, in a very fast-paced and exciting church, had this sort of belief system that... that burnout wasn't a real thing. It was a myth that you just go.
Yeah.
You pray, you know, spiritually speaking, you get the presence of God on you. You understand scripture. You've got energy. It's supernatural. And you just keep going.
Yeah.
And one day you die. But in actual fact, I realized soon enough that that was not the case.
Yes.
And so after those symptoms, I had to sideline myself and do a journey inward. But it was pretty bad when I crashed.
Yeah. So you've hit the bottom.
I think so. Yeah. I was just, very exhausted. Couldn't start sentences, forgot people's names.
Yeah. Okay.
Adrenal fatigue was just through the roof.
Yeah. Not fun.
No.
Not fun at all.
I wish it upon no one.
No. Yeah. Well, I'm glad you're here to talk about it.
Oh, thank you.
Talk about today.
Yes.
And so then in terms of preventing burnout, kind of like not letting ourselves get to that state.
Yeah.
Like how can we prevent it? How can we stop it from happening in the first place?
Mm.
Yeah.
It's an excellent question, Char. Look, it's pretty hard to communicate it to high sensation seeking individuals. We live in a world which is onward and upward.
Mm-hmm.
It's very fast paced. The chaos in the modern world is moving at a breakneck speed.
Yeah.
And we live in a society particularly in the West, where, you know, success and busyness and the hurry and the hustle, it's all considered to be acceptable.
Yeah.
We've normalized it, where in actual fact, everybody's different.
Yeah.
And everybody has different limitations, varies from person to person. So mm-hmm. I would say self-awareness is super important.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Knowing who you are.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we talk enough about self-awareness,
mm-hmm.
but in actual fact, self-awareness is critical.
Yeah.
Because when you actually find out who you are and you like who you are and you're kind to yourself and you accept your limitations and you stop trying to be like everybody else.
Yeah, totally.
You can actually start to put measures in place that allow you to live a life that's healthy.
Yeah.
So that you can be a gift to other people and so that you cannot always try to be like everybody else or be in a hurry to get to where you're trying to go.
Yeah.
But you actually know the margin that's right for you and you know the gaps that are right for you and you know when to stop, when to rest. So a good way to prevent it is to know who you are, to not apologize for who you are.
Yeah.
To have the courage to be who you are and to know what your capacity is and what your limitations are and to take the necessary days off that you need, to work at a pace that's right for you, to not be in a hurry if it's not right for you.
Yeah.
And to find a sustainable rhythm that allows you not just to start what you're doing, but to continue on.
Totally. Yeah. That is so good. Yeah. Just like, yeah, self-awareness is fun, hey?
That's great. Well, it can be shocking. Sometimes you go, ah!
Yeah.
Or you find out who you really are. And other times it's a relief because you think, oh, I'm not going crazy.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with me. There are other people like me. Totally. And that's okay.
I feel like coming out of school for me, I feel like I bring up every podcast. I'm like, back in high school, it was like very easy to kind of like hide behind like every day was so the same. But then coming out of it, it's like, wait a minute, I'm like my own person.
Absolutely.
And I need to figure out how I actually learn, like what I want to do. So that's so good.
Yes.
Yeah, I love that. And then just say we're in a season where we're like feeling kind of burnt out. What has worked for you in terms of coming out, back out of that again?
Yeah, well, it's not, once you have experienced burnout and you go through the deep recovery of getting your mojo back, which can take years, there's an indelible ink that is sort of, you know, stamped onto your brain, which disallows you from going back to those places again. I got a friend who's a psychologist who talked about the literature of burnout and basically said the very few that make it off the floor once they've crashed and collapsed in the fetal position. The ones who do a deep recovery and make it back and get healthy again don't go back to what they were before. They actually do less, but they're more effective.
Yeah, nice. Okay.
They don't do as much, but they're more fruitful, more productive through doing less. Now, I'm not sure how that works, except that maybe we move into a place of a purposeful, meaningful work. We start to understand what really matters and we actually become really sharp at recognizing those indicators and those warning signs that, hey, here and no further, you've been here before. But this is a precipice now. Don't go near the edge. So if you've been through burnout, the best way to get back is to not make apologies for your needs. There's a great quote by one of my favorite authors, Peter Scazzera, who said that our giving or our doing and sharing cannot be greater than our being or our self-care can sustain, which means that our doing and our sharing and our productivity should come out of our being and our self-care and our rest and our stillness. So who we are is way more important than what we do because what we do comes out of who we are.
Yes, totally. I love that. And then like, obviously you're super creative. It's like the field of work you've been in since forever.
Long time. <yeah.
laughs> I feel like when I was a kid, I was like, oh, Ryan Smith, he's always doing such creative things.
Thank you.
And my dad's like, yeah.
I love spending time with your dad. We laugh the whole time. I can't spend too much time with your dad because I get nothing done. We just laugh for hours.
Totally. It's so funny. But yeah. In terms of like the last episode we just did was with Megan Gilbert and we were talking about like pursuing our passions alongside our career. So as someone who like kind of has their passion as their main career, how do you kind of like not tip off the edge in like there's not really like a break for
you? That's very good. That's an excellent question, Char. Well, That's only become the case for me sort of at midlife. I'm 48 now, and I would say that I am in my lane, in my element, and I'm doing what I was born to do.
Yeah.
But it wasn't always like that. It was very unbalanced for a long time. Yeah. Not that I wasn't using the gifts that I needed to steward and that God had given me to use. I was using those gifts in building the church and discipling people and serving. But I wasn't pursuing what I would call a parallel creativity. It was an all or nothing kind of consecrated life and approach to consecration, where it's like you pin your life to the tree, you sacrifice everything for God, you build the church, and you do the work of the ministry. But when I crashed, I had learned some things about self-care, self-honor, that yes, you do honor God and you honor the church and you honor his leaders, but you 100% must integrate the honor of self. Yes. So I started to make my own music.
Yeah,
I didn't throw the baby out with the bathwater and stop serving and stop building the church, but I started to add or integrate into my life creativity that was very personal, very authentic, very private. It was for public consumption, for people to enjoy if they wanted to, and I was happy to release it and to ship it and put it out there, but it was protected.
Yeah.
It was not collaborative. It was very selfish and it was very personal, and I did it the way I heard it, felt it, saw it, interpreted it, understood it. And what that did was it basically brought about a huge level of creative health. So I've been able to have these two things coexist, where I serve with the gifts God's given me, but I also use them to create art for my own sense of fulfillment and satisfaction.
I love that. So good. Yeah. That's really good. And then in terms of, like, I feel like there's so many examples where I've kind of seen my friends like teetering on the edge of like, oh, like I feel like you're about to crash.
Yes.
And it can be, I find it like super frustrating because I'm like, just stop.
Yes.
But like, if you have any insight into how we can, first of all, kind of like the signs of like this person is like about to be burnt out, but then also some advice for like how we can help our friends or people that we, you know, work with or whatever it is through it.
Oh, yes. Well, I think if we ourselves can be a non-anxious presence, it can make the people in our lives feel safe when they're around us.
Yeah.
And it almost like empowers us to encourage them, to speak into their lives, to give them sound advice.
Yeah.
Without sort of being condescending or trying to fix them or correct them, but just really just love on them and help them to find health again.
Yeah.
But we ourselves first need to be healthy.
Yeah.
So we can go about wanting to help our friends that might be on the brink of a collapse or on the brink of burnout. But again, we have to ask ourselves, are we in possession of good counsel? Are we ourselves the best version of ourselves? Are we healthy?
Yeah.
And are we able to counsel them in a way that's going to bring about creative and emotional health in their lives?
Yeah.
One of the most important questions, I think, and I believe that high value questions are essential.
Mm.
One of the most important questions that we all need to ask is, how do people experience me?
Mm.
Or how do people experience myself, you know?
Yeah.
And if every individual's got the courage to ask that question, and even to ask the trusted companions and those closest to them, how do you experience me?
Wow.
It's a courageous question, a terrifying question, but it is one that will set you free, provided that the answer that you get is loving and truthful.
Yeah.
So that you can then think, okay, because there's a shadow self to all of us that everybody else sees, but we don't.
Yeah, totally.
Once we confront our shadow, we're on our way to being redeemed.
Yeah. Wow, that is so cool. I'm going to go home and ask my sister. How do you experience me? I'm kind of scared.
Yeah.
Scared about the answer.
Yes. Make sure you have tissues and counselors standing by.
Yes. Totally. I said before that we were both Enneagram 4s.
Yes.
So I'm like desperate to know. I'm like, how are you impacted by me?
Wow.
Tell me. Praise me.
Oh, I think you're like a summer breeze, a ray of sunshine. I haven't seen you on an off day. Let me guess, you have bad days, right?
Oh, yeah.
Where the sky is falling.
Totally.
Yeah.
Got it. Have to. And then kind of like last question I have is like practically how is like, what's a good way that we can, I mean, this is like a massive question, so you can just offer a little bit of insight, but like in terms of like, how can we, or how do you like manage your time and work-life balance in a way that is like just fully like we're not burning out anymore? Like, how do you?
Indeed.
Yeah.
It's really good. Look, I think boundaries are the big one.
Mm-hmm.
The moment we start violating our boundaries, we're not taking care of all the things that are in our domain to protect and to steward and to nurture.
Mm-hmm.
The definition of boundaries are really the lines we draw that enable us to love you and ourselves simultaneously.
Yeah.
So too much one way, you stop with the self-care and now you're kind of over-functioning and taking on false responsibility. When you're too self-referencing and too selfish, you forget about others.
Yeah.
So we need to have temperance and balance in that.
Mm.
I think boundaries would be the one thing I would say that, and it varies from person to person.
Yeah.
But look, the only gift you and I have on offer to the world is ourselves.
Mm.
So if we're if the condition that we are in on the inside is shabby or it's unhealthy or it's sped up, then the gift that we're offering people in the world is a shabby offering. It's not a great offering. So we actually have to know the state that we're in, understand the vital signs, check the dashboard of our lives, how am I going, and not make apologies for doing things that feed our soul, that are life-giving, and that light us up on the inside.
Yeah, I love that.
Too often we are guilted into doing things for other people to such a degree that we forget about ourselves, but we actually need to love people, take care of what's on our plate and what's across our path to take care of. But at the same time, we need to sideline ourselves and do those things that light us up and actually be kind to ourselves. Yeah. Offer ourselves the gift of unconditional self-friendship.
Yeah, I love that.
And quit guilt and shame along the way.
Yeah.
Because it's not wrong to take a whole day and to do something for yourself.
Yeah.
Without feeling guilty. There's nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's essential for longevity.
Oh, I love that. I love, I feel like for me, I always am like switching things as well. One day I'm like, I'm a crocheter. Another day I'm like,
I'm working on my crochet and decoupage as well.
Are you?
No, don't be silly. No. It's hard enough just playing guitar. Decoupage.
Oh, please.
Yeah, yeah. It's scrapbooking.
Yeah, no, I love that. Just like nice like outlets.
Yes,
so are so important.
Yep.
And it comes back to that like being self-aware. And being able to like you said, the dashboard, like how to identify that. And it's something that we have to like learn how to do, hey.
Well, I think so, because there are markers. Like, I'll tell you what, when I turned 40, I suddenly realized that I probably spent the last 4 decades suffering from anxiety.
Yeah, wow.
And I just thought that was life and that's what everybody felt.
Yeah.
And every day there was torment and affliction disease.
I just
thought, oh, everyone feels that's just life. Until I woke up one day, came out of the coma and smelt the coffee and thought, no, that's actually not true.
Yeah.
This is a symptom that that something's wrong, that I need to explore it with God.
Yeah.
Ask him what's behind it, what's underneath it, and heal from it.
Yeah.
Totally. And I went on that journey and I began to eliminate the non-essentials and create space in my life. And it led to a deep rest and a deep contentment.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Some deep rest. I think, Jesse Ditchfield, someone I love.
Oh, yes.
He told me one time, like, some great advice that you need to have, like, something every day that refreshes you every week, every month, every year.
100%.
I'm so good.
It's
and
essential.
That, like, changed my life.
Oh, yes.
I was like, wow,
totally. Yep.
Now I have, like, my thing every day, every week. So good.
And you do it unapologetically without feeling guilt.
Yeah.
Or like you're letting someone down or you're being selfish.
Yeah, totally.
That's wonderful.
Yeah. I love it. So now we have like a little segment that we like to do on SID Life.
Uh-oh.
Which is just...
multiple choice.
Oh, sorry. If only. But it's just like, what's the one thing you want people to take away from our chat here?
Yes. Well, that's a great question.
Yeah.
I think... That I would say the most important thing in life before productivity is peace. Yeah.
Mm.
The one thing I would want people to take away is this, that if you succeed in life, whether it's financially, relationally, in your career, because you've got to focus on careerism or whatever the case may be, and you don't have authentic, unmanufactured peace, it's all for naught.
Wow.
Because if you don't have peace... you will not have the capacity to enjoy all of the wonderful things that God wants you to enjoy.
Yeah. Wow. I'm lost for words. It's so good. I feel refreshed.
You do?
Yeah.
Can I invoice for this 30 minutes?
Totally. You deserve it. You really do. Yeah,
I'd settle for a sandwich and a puppy.
No, I really feel, I feel I'm like going to go home and like get my life sorted out.
Same. This is all just sort of made up. I need to go home and just maybe take on some of this advice.
Honestly,
as well.
Yeah, yeah. Totally. I think it's funny whenever I have like DNMs with my friends.
Oh, yes.
I'm usually like, oh, that was really good when I said that thing. I should take that on.
Record yourself. Just have the microphone going all day.
All day.
Chop it up when you get home and think, I'm brilliant.
Listen to it.
Sheer brilliance.
Totally. Well, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Honestly, so good. Such good wisdom.
Thank you.
And like knowledge, experience.
Pain.
I like pain. Yeah, totally. It's got it. The pain's worth it sometimes.
Yes, it is.
It really is. But I know so many people are going to absolutely be so inspired by this.
Awesome.
So thank you so much. Thanks, we're going to have to get you back.
Please.
Do a Ryan and my dad segment.
Oh, I'd love that.
That sounds fun.
Look, this has been the highlight of my year.
Oh, good. Yeah,
yeah. I've been waiting 6 months to do this.
Come on. Yeah. I should have asked you sooner.
Thank you for asking. I've loved it. Thanks, Sha.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Well done. Massive thank you to Ryan. So much wisdom, so much knowledge.
Mm.
Very soothing voice.
Mm.
It's very like...
He should record something.
He should. Maybe he should like write an album or something.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe you should find him on Spotify right now.
Yeah. Ryan Smith.
Ryan Smith.
Yeah. It's true. Something I forgot to mention earlier.
Yeah, what's that?
Show everyone your shoes.
Why?
I just think
it's like a weird request.
No, just do it.
What do you mean? They're really nice New Balances.
Tyler left his shoes at home and he had to wear his gym shoes all day and he's been very self-conscious about it. So I thought, why not bring it up?
It's funny because like I thought you'd finish the roast.
Yeah, no.
That's fine. Turn the oven back on. Here's the thing, like I pride myself on, because I pack my bag before I sleep.
Yeah.
And I get my lunch, get my clothes. Mm-hmm,
get all organized.
I'm packed, I'm organized.
So what happened?
I don't know. I think because it's winter and I'm like wearing like 10 layers.
Yeah.
My bag was full.
Oh, so you just
and
like,
I had no space for shoes.
Yeah. It actually is a great segue into what I want to talk about with you now to finish off the episode.
Okay.
And it's something I'm so surprised that I haven't brought up earlier.
What is it?
The ick.
Yeah.
I haven't mentioned the ick.
With me?
At all.
In general.
I have not talked about the ick on this podcast.
Yeah.
So.
I mean.
Yeah.
You're giving me.
I'm giving you the ick? Why?
I don't know.
Just generally?
No, you're not.
I didn't think so. I don't give many people the ick.
No, you know of.
I saw. Oh, what did I see? I can't remember. I think I saw something that was like, would you rather like hear everything anyone's ever said about you. I can't remember. It's not important.
That would be a curse.
Yeah, that would be horrible.
It's a blessing not to know.
Yeah, I don't want to know anything.
Like, I want to be liked, but...
We get a lot of hate comments too.
No, you don't.
Yeah, we actually do. YouTube Shorts, it's a breeding ground.
Oh.
People usually say...
Monitor that.
Yeah.
Mm.
People usually say, they're so funny. Like, they'll make fun of our laugh.
Mm.
Or they'll be like, you said so much but so little at the same time.
Mm.
And I'm like, that's what I go
what
for.
What have you learned for that?
I've learned to just block out the haters.
Yeah, great.
Totally. I want to run us through some classic icks.
Yes.
Because then there's like some niche ones that have like come up in pop culture again that have really got millennials tweaking. They're freaking out. And so
because it's a millennial specific ick?
It's a Gen Z ick that we Gen Zers have
towards
millennials. So I'm going to get to that. But
I think like the chokehold millennials have over Gen Zers is interesting.
Yeah, it's true.
Like we take up a lot of your thought life.
Because it's just like, we can't get away from you.
You
guys are like,
out. We're just existing.
Yeah. Things are still quieter, please. No, I'm kidding. Okay, classic icks. These are some of my absolute favorite ones to talk about. And whenever people that don't know about icks, when you tell them these ones for the first time, you will get the best reaction.
I mean, an ick is just something that kind of like...
Makes your toes curl.
Makes your toes curl, like kind of turns you off. You're a bit like, ugh. Like,
yeah. So it's the more random, the better. The number one first one that I have is like chasing after a ping pong ball. It's so funny. I genuinely refuse to chase after a ping pong ball. I will wait for someone to get it for me. I will not let, like, you can't let anyone see you do that.
Someone's got to, though.
Yeah, and it won't be me.
Someone has to do it.
It won't be me.
What do you mean?
One time,
Remind me to never verse you in ping pong.
Yeah. One time, I was with, like, a married couple, and one of them started chasing after a handball, and I covered the spouse's eyes.
Wow.
Because I was like, you don't need to see that. You do not
need
to see that.
Yeah, I think it's the, like, you're bending over, you're trying to...
And you keep missing
You're trying
it.
To grab this thing, and it's, like, hitting every crack in the pavement.
Yeah,
and
it's
then
just embarrassing.
You look like a mess.
Yeah.
And this ball has humiliated you publicly. Yeah.
The next one that I have that makes me laugh, and I hate to say that I've done this one, is when you're running for the bus with a backpack on. And it's like, doing, doing, doing. Me in the central tunnel with my backpack, like, running for the train.
Part of me would rather miss a bus.
Yeah.
It's but so true. I think that's a pride issue on my half. I would rather not be seen running for a piece of transport.
Yeah, right. But sometimes you have to. Like, my train, because people know I live on the trains. If you've listened to this podcast before, I often talk about my train journeys.
I thought you meant, like, on a train line. And I was like, no, you don't.
No, I'm just on trains semi-regularly. Yes. And now that the uni semester is over, I'm not on them at all. But anyway.
Wow. Must be so hard.
One time, class finished and the train came in either 8 minutes or 25.
Mm.
And so I was like, get me out of here.
Yeah, I gotta go.
I sprinted all the way from my university.
To Redfern or to Central?
To Central.
Central.
Yeah. And, like, my backpack was giving me, like, head damage because it was, like, rocking. But I couldn't stop.
I mean, my first thought is it's cute that you have a backpack at uni.
Yeah. It's just a little
practical.
Assuming
your mum packs a lunch in that
thing.
You got some pencils.
I'm not a child.
Your little juice popper.
I'm not a child.
Okay.
And you know what? You would have known that if you came to my birthday party.
Yeah. Like, widowy in Thailand. That's not on me.
What about it? I want to talk about it.
Okay, ick three.
Ick three is carrying an umbrella when it's windy and it goes inside out. No one needs to see that. Put yourself together.
Again, I feel like this is like an object that humiliates you.
Yeah. Do better.
Yeah.
It's things that can be in our control. And the last one I have, I really like the way I wrote this down. It says wobbling on the train.
What do you mean? Like, so you don't fall over?
It's like when you can't hold on and you like kind of like, whoa, and like have to reach for a pole or something. Like, no one needs to see that.
I did that. I basically like took this lady out.
Oh, no.
And I was like, I'm so sorry. But it was either that or like I was going to be on the floor.
Yeah. But yeah, again, bit of like a, oh.
Yeah.
But the main event I wanted to talk about was this whole idea of, so Gen Z. Sorry, let me rephrase this. Millennials wear ankle socks. Gen Z wear crew socks.
Yeah, it's a vicious stereotype, but
this thing that has like come out where it's like you can tell that they're a millennial if they're wearing ankle socks. You're a terrible example today because you're a crew sock wearer.
Yeah, Alex also wears crew socks.
Yeah, he does.
So
maybe it's more of a girl thing because it's definitely like it has my millennial friends that are girls.
I read some comments about this
freaking
the other day.
Out. Yeah.
And a co-millennial was explaining, growing up, boomers would wear long socks and it had this like grandpa vibe.
Okay. But that's kind of like the coastal grandpa is like the vibe these days.
Yeah. Well, it was not.
Yeah.
And I've said it before, but I cannot wait for Gen Alpha to have their Gen Z hits.
I know.
Like, it's just going to go back.
I know.
So you should actually start humbling yourself now before it.
I'd rather just be embarrassed.
You will be humiliated.
Yeah. I'll be humiliated in like 10 years.
But it's true. I became aware of this recently.
Yeah.
And I had to make the decision. I kind of hate that I am swayed by the fact that Gen Z.
That's what people have been saying.
Millennial things. And I will admit, I mean, I wear crew socks a lot.
Yeah.
But to the gym, I was wearing ankle socks.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is fair enough. I don't like sweaty lower calves. But I think for winter, I'm going to cave and I'm going to wear crew socks to the gym.
It's just like, I don't necessarily find it that much of an ick, but it is like a very much like, oh, you're a millennial.
It's telling.
Yeah, it's really telling. And then I have a few more just millennial specific icks I wanted to bring up.
Coffee.
That is one of them.
Millennials love Coffee, like talking about coffee.
I can't stop. They cannot coffee. Shut up about the coffee.
Yeah, it's like, yeah, it's easy for they coffee have the to
mugs,
be my
They have the mugs that are like, personality. Don't talk to me until I've had my coffee.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I didn't want to talk to you anyway.
I think the trifecta for me would be like a Disney adult.
The Disney millennials.
Harry Potter, I am a Gryffindor.
Yeah,
like coffee that kind of like coffee obsessed.
Yeah. I physically feel nauseous.
Still wearing skinny jeans. But the thing is, Charlotte, these are not bad people.
No.
And you need to stop villainizing them.
I'm not villainizing them.
They are living their life.
They are. And they're the happiest of us. You
potentially.
Know? They are yeah. thriving.
Yeah.
I just like, I went to Disneyland once a few years ago.
Yeah, it's all right.
Never need to go back in my life. Though, yeah. You know?
Yeah. I bring this back to TikTok. But did you see that, like, that trend where people would go, these are like people who are like, at Disneyland on the weekly, like it's unhealthy.
Yeah.
And it was their reaction going back into Disneyland for the first time after COVID.
Oh my gosh,
yes. And they would run in the gates.
They're like crying.
And they would see the castle and they would fall on their knees crying.
I'm trying to think what That's the equivalent would unhealthy. Be that for me. Be like that for me.
That's like, what about, maybe it's an escapism thing.
It would be.
Like this fairy tale perfect
me coming place, back like
everyone loves you and it's perfect every day
youth having to not be online anymore that was the equivalent for me like
yeah oh. gosh that was a season
yeah
goodbye COVID yep
the last one that I yes. have is like the unironic use of like the laughing face
sure so what's it's acceptable the skeleton
even like I like the grave
what
there's like a gravestone
you're deceased
because it's like funny
wow
Is that insensitive?
No.
Okay. But yeah, just like the laughing face. It's like,
I mean, to like,
and you know what's even worse? Like the
zombie
twisted.
Community. It's like a little
twisted, yeah. The twisted laughing face.
Or the side face.
Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-mm. Again, this is just me.
No, it's not. This is widespread.
This is everyone.
This is a case of widespread Gen Z discrimination towards millennials.
Yeah.
And we will be your managers for the next few years.
Yeah.
So don't forget it.
But you do well.
Yeah, thank you.
You do well. And so does Alex. Alex does well.
He does do well.
And the thing with Alex is like, no matter what, he won't care. Because That's his...
Great. I'll yeah. check head less.
Yeah, totally. I'm learning that from him. I'm learning to care less.
Yeah, like WWAD. What would Alex do?
What would Alex do? What is that? Did you just come up with that?
WWJD. We've talked about this.
We have. What would Jesus do?
What would Jesus do?
Yes, that's right. Because someone wrote it on our poster of work. And I didn't know what it meant.
Do you want to hear my Gen Z eggs?
Please. Give me one.
Just loaded.
What is it?
No, I've got none. I really wanted to give it to you.
Approval.
Yeah, God. I actually live to be liked by Gen Z.
I wonder what a Gen Z ick would be. It would be like...
They will come. Just you wait.
It'll just be like the constant like...
Well, the icks are usually... Here's the thing, right? This is age old. Every generation that comes next will have pet peeves.
About the one above.
Absolutely.
Because Gen X is above you.
I believe so.
So what are your icks for them?
Boom. I couldn't even tell you.
They love the ellipsis at the end of every sentence. The dot, dot, dot. Gen X.
Is that what an ellipsis is?
Yeah.
I thought an ellipsis was a shape.
Well, it's also an oval.
Wow.
Yeah, but they love the dot, 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 dots. Dot.
It's mysterious.
My mum is a baby boomer. Ended. But if you look at her Instagram profile, every single Instagram caption has a dot, dot, dot.
Oh. How like heavy is it on the emojis?
She doesn't really use emojis.
Wow. That's not very boomer of her.
No.
I feel like a classic Facebook post would be like, went to the beach, sun emoji, swimming emoji.
Yeah. A lot of her friends... do that yeah, but she okay. just she's like she's a writer
wow you she's know? A writer yeah. so she doesn't
use pictures
need emojis
no she just loves her dot
she
dot
uses
dot.
Words
my dad I've talked about this on the podcast and I'm not going to bring it up again because he got so upset with me
yeah
the thumbs up
I feel like living with you would be tough
potentially
the thumbs up is very PA though passive aggressive
yes well but the problem is that he doesn't mean it like that at all.
Yeah, but how it is read.
I know.
Which
like,
is
hey, Dad.
Really.
The example that I used, here yeah. I am bringing it up again, is I was like, hey, Dad, just found out these people are pregnant.
Yeah. How can I not read that as, okay, so.
I don't care. Yeah. Yeah, okay. Anyway, we should call it.
We should call it.
We should call it.
We love you guys. This much.
Just a little bit. You have to interpret what that means. Do you want to close it out for us?
Yeah, I'd love to. Once again, Ryan Smith, thank you so much for being on this podcast. It's good navigating burnout.
Mm-hmm.
Very important. And that is all for today, and we'll see you again soon.
We will.
Thank you.
Goodbye.
Bye.
SYD Life is a podcast produced by C3 SYD Church. We exist to help people know Jesus, find community, and discover their purpose. For more information, go to our website, c3syd.church, and for content and clips, head to sydlife.podcast. Help us reach more people in Sydney by sharing this episode with a friend. See you next time.